Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. It's great to be with you as always, and I know it's like a dream come true for you, isn't it? I can tell. Yeah, I hear from you all the time. You tell me, you write me all the time and say, hey, Jim, it's like a dream come true listening to your show. All right, I'll get off of that. Justin Minkes is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Justin Minkes is Managing Director of Executive Intelligence Group. He's a leading provider of executive assessment services to global corporations, not just U.S. corporations, but to global corporations. And he's the author of a book that's very exciting. It's really taken the management world by storm. It's called Executive Intelligence by Justin Minkes, and he's our new friend. Justin, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book.
Oh, thanks so much. Yes.
Now, long ride. Now, look, this doesn't seem to be all that earth-shattering to me to believe that an executive of a small company, a big company, needs to be intelligent. Where's the news here?
Yeah, well, you know, what's surprising is that we've gotten lost, and there's so many management theories, pet management theories, so many management scientists out there trying to sort of sell their wares, and most of it concentrates on people's personality or style or things that are sort of obvious when somebody walks into a room. They're charismatic, they're tall,
they're driven, they got a great tan, they got a single-digit handicap, whatever.
There's no question. And what happens is that super polished smile has an incredible influence over whether or not people think that they're going to be successful and whether or not they get hired or promoted.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, what we know, what is undeniable, is that over 100 years ago, a guy named Alfred Binet built an IQ test that measured a certain range of cognitive abilities for school children to predict how effective kids would do in school. And during World War I, we started using those tests to predict how well adults would do in the workplace.
Right.
And they turned out to be shockingly effective. Now, in the 1970s and 80s, it became very controversial to use these tests because women and minorities did worse on them. And they had sort of these what they call adverse impact issues. And they were very controversial. So they dropped off the scene. But independent researchers at universities have continued to look at this, and as late as 2004, a massive study involving over 100,000 students, candidates, and managers showed, and it's over and over again been shown, that IQ is the single biggest predictor, how smart you are, of managerial performance. The problem is that you can't use an IQ test with a managerial population.
Mm-hmm.
So what this is all about...
Why can't you?
Because it's inappropriate, because managers are insulted by the subject matter, their arithmetic problems, their vocabulary problems. With Alfred Binet, when he built the test, he built it identifying the cognitive abilities that a student needs to have in order to succeed. And he was incredibly successful, brilliant man. But it turns out that there exists an infinite number of cognitive abilities that you could actually test. Arithmetic is not the only thing that makes somebody smart.
Right.
So how you define intelligence becomes incredibly important. And so what it turns out is that while we've assumed that there's a set of cognitive abilities that make somebody an excellent student, we just mistakenly assumed that there wasn't a specific set of cognitive abilities that make someone a great executive. So in the book, we reveal what the cognitive abilities are that make someone a great executive, a sort of an executive IQ. And once you know those skills, not only can you test for them in the leaders you're looking for, but that you can develop them within yourself?
Well, that's the good question, see, because what I want to do when we come back after these messages, we're going to take a break in about a minute, is I want you to help us as small business owners not only learn how to use this as we hire new people, new executives, new managers, new employees who will become one of those,
yes,
but also for those of us who, like me, who could probably use a little dusting up on our IQ, how we can do it for ourselves. But here's my question as we go to the break. Do you believe, Justin, that the marketplace is deficient right now because we spent more time hiring beauty queens and less time hiring smart people?
And there's no doubt about it. And we've seen so many organizations that are very public that have been driven off a cliff. And there are just very recent examples that I'd rather not name names, but people know who they are. They read about
right. As long as they're not one of my sponsors, you can name names.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Just tease. It's more interesting not to name names.
But one of the things that Jim Kiltz, the CEO of Gillette, told me when I was interviewing for him.
Hold on to that thought, Justin. Yes. We got to take a quick break because we have to sell some things. We're going to do that right after these messages. Get back with Dr. Justin Minkes, and we're going to talk about executive intelligence. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Justin what he thinks about the Q factor right after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and that's Dan Fogelberg in the background, by the way, folks. Great artist, great songwriter, great singer, great musician. He's got it all. He's a great one. Dr. Justin Minkes is our guest. He's the author of Executive Intelligence, and that's what we're talking about. Justin, and we went to the break. I said I was going to ask you if you know what Q was, and off the air we talked a little bit about it. The Q factor, folks, those of you who haven't heard me talk about it or haven't read the article that I wrote about this, the Q factor is a system of putting a face in front of a focus group and the focus group is only asked two questions. Do you like this face or do you not like this face? And if you vote, and if your numbers are high, above 19, they have a system, Justin, how to measure this. If it's above 19, you're considered to have Q. If it's below 19, you don't have Q. So in the world of television, and I guess movies too, if you've got Q and you can read large type, you've got a future as a television newscaster or something like that. Never mind whether you've paid your bones in reporting in the marketplace. You're a smart person. If you've got a pretty face and you can read large type, you've got the job. And what that leads us to believe is that only pretty people apply for these jobs.
Yeah, and you know,
and is that my question to you is that happening in the marketplace?
It is. And the real problem here is that job interviews become so overwhelmed by those factors, the likability factor, the charming smile factor. Those people that have those qualities have such an unfair disadvantage during the job interview in the workplace than people who work hard, who might be more humble and shy, but really get to the right answers and take the organization where it needs to go. And there's endless numbers of examples, and I have them in my book, of executives that have the most charming and polished smiles that lead their organizations right off a cliff. Because the bottom line is, what you most depend on your leaders to have is the right answer, is to understand and be able to reasonably guide people appropriately, to get to the truth of the matter. That is the crux of what makes somebody effective or not effective.
Looks don't make a leader.
Looks do not. In fact, when you meet, I interviewed 30 of the most celebrated CEOs in the world for this book, and the book's based on a huge amount of empirical research, but I use these stories to help give life to the statistics. And, you know, Jim Kiltz couldn't be any more different than the CEO of Gillette, Jen Jack Welch. I mean, these guys, their interpersonal styles, there is nothing in common. But what they do have in common is this incredible facility for substance, and the skills we're talking about that we reveal in the book that make up executive intelligence are things that we hope all of our leaders can do, not just our business leaders, but our politicians, our teachers, even parents, the ability to differentiate between primary concerns and secondary concerns, things that are less relevant, being able to evaluate what we know about a situation and what else we need to know in order to render a sound conclusion. Or they have to be smart about interpersonal situations.
Right.
What's actually going on here? What are the underlying agendas? What might be separating these people in this conflict, and how can we resolve that? All of these things, including being smart about yourself, recognizing when you're making a mistake and need to make an adjustment, these are all skills.
Self-analysis is essential, isn't it, to intelligence?
You can't get away without it. The pace of business, the pace of life, it moves too quickly.
Justin, you mentioned a minute ago how we could use these tools in small business as we hire our executives and our future executives. But also, you talked about how we can help ourselves to increase our own level of intelligence, our own executive IQ. Talk to us about those.
Absolutely. So in the book, what I do is I reveal a methodology that you can use for potential employees to get a sense, not just of how great a smile they are and whether or not you might want to take them to lunch the first time you meet them, but what becomes amazing is that if they're a terrible worker, you're not going to want to take them out to lunch for long. What I'm doing is showing you a way to get at the substance of whether or not they really are going to be effective for you. And at the same time, I provide a series of exercises that allow you to practice these skills yourself. Because there's an endless number of training manuals out there. But what we really need is we know that intelligence is the single biggest predictor of performance. Therefore, if you spend your energy, and you have limited time, if you're going to spend your energy becoming more effective decision maker in any walk of life, you'll want to focus on the skills we're talking about. And these exercises do just that.
Well, give us an example of what one of those would look like.
Absolutely. So if you're talking about a complicated situation where I'll give a scenario where you have to make a decision about how to handle something within your company or an interpersonal situation, and within the scenario, there are essential unintended consequences that will happen if you take certain courses of action. And unintended consequences, recognizing what they are and how to work around them, how to weight them, is an essential cognitive skill for executives.
This sounds like a chess match.
Oh, it is excellent. It is like a chess match. It's like a great poker player. A poker player is constantly, when they're playing the game, they're not just thinking about their current hand. They're looking at cues from other players. They're looking
right
at the history of the card.
So instead of checking out the brand new, newly whitened enamel of a candidate in front of you, you should be asking them, if you were faced with this situation or that situation, how would you handle it? Is that what you're
Absolutely.
Saying?
Absolutely.
All right. Hold on to that thought. I'm going to get you to. I got some more of these really cool questions for you right after these messages. It's 10 till. We'll be right back with Dr. Justin Minkus, and the book is called Executive Intelligence. I think it'll help you, folks. I'm already getting smarter just talking to the guy. 10 till. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll remind you one last time, it's Veterans Day. If you see a veteran, if you see a man and woman in uniform, folks, the awe and the humility and the awkwardness that you feel in their presence is justified. And if you feel that way, then what they've sacrificed is made, maybe we're a little bit worthy of that. So happy Veterans Day to all of you who are veterans, those of you who are in uniform, who are also veterans and who are going to be one day civilians again. God bless you. We're really, really proud of you. So happy Veterans Day to everybody who is a veteran, especially. Justin Minkus, Dr. Justin Minkus is the author of Executive Intelligence. Justin, give us the website, please.
Website is executiveintelligence.com, and they can find all sorts of information, executiveintelligence.com.
All right, and the book is available wherever books are sold?
Wherever, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, large stock, anywhere.
So check it out when you get a chance, folks. It's a big book. It's a good one. The subtitle is What All Great Leaders Have, and the title is Executive Intelligence. Justin, okay, We're a small business. We got three candidates in front of us. One of them has pearly white teeth, you know, perfect hair, dressed to the nines, charisma dripping off his elbows.
Yes.
The second one, not so gleamy, not so shiny, not so sparkly, but pretty smart.
Yes.
And the first one, you know, comes across, you can't really get to the point of whether he's smart enough because he's so charming.
Yes.
And then the third one is, you know, maybe a little more dowdy, like me, a face for radio, and that person is coming across fine, but is obviously a highly intelligent person.
Yes.
How do we make sure that we're not positive about which one of these guys are the smartest, or one of these ladies are the smartest? How do we make sure we find the really smart one?
Yeah, you know, it really does also depend on the job, because there is no single magic bullet. Intelligence on its own won't make someone successful. Obviously, if they're lazy as heck, then, you know, you don't want them in your organization.
There are a lot of smart, lazy people, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to pre-establish that these people are going to be decent, reasonable workers for you. But smart is undeniably the single biggest predictor of how well they'll do their job. And the way you're going to go about doing that is you're going to not just ask them questions. You're not going to just say to somebody, how smart are you? that just doesn't work. What you're going to do, and in the book, what we have is a series of exercises, questions, scenarios that you can give to your prospective applicants, and you can have them solve situations in front of you. Because what we know as small business owners and in large corporations is that we have to have the ability to trust the judgment of our employees. We can't be everywhere at once.
And it's more true now than ever before.
More true now. Decision making.
Because small business owners are doing more business with fewer employees, well, all companies are, than ever before.
Absolutely. And it's happening throughout corporate America, even at the top of corporate America, that's happening. Because the speed of change is just too fast. Decisions have to be made on the fly. And people can't just follow a step-by-step guide. They have to make judgment calls on the fly. And you must be able to rely on the soundness of their judgment. So what you're going to do is you're going to put them in front of you, and you're going to have them solve realistic scenarios in front of you, and you're going to measure in a systematic way each one of the cognitive skills that we're talking about, the ability to recognize the underlying agenda of the people involved in a situation.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to recognize what are the likely emotional reactions of somebody if I were to say this to them as a customer versus that. You want someone to have these sorts of awarenesses, because that's what leads them to the best solution. That's what they, well, I know I can't say that because that's just a stupid thing that's really going to upset them.
Right.
But if I say it in this way, because I'm taking their multiple perspective, taking things from their perspective, I understand why we're in this conflict in the first place. And you use that understanding to come to an agreement between each other. So you use these tests. You sort of open up the lid on people who might be the most charming, practiced interviewers in the world. You start to say, okay, fine, beyond this job interview, what are you going to look like in front of my customers? Because that's what I care about.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I've said for years, show me a smart person with a good attitude and no experience, and I'll take that person over somebody who's got lots of experience but may be weak in the other areas. You can always train smart people to do a good job, can't you?
It's exactly right, and the research showed the same. I mean, in 2004, a study...
Justin, pardon me, I got to go, but I'll tell you what. I know you got a lot more to tell us. I've got a lot more things to ask you. Will you come back another day?
Oh, I'd love it.
We'll get you back again.
It's been terrific.
Thank you very much. Dr. Justin Minkes, ladies and gentlemen, the book is Executive Intelligence. We'll get him back another day. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners and veterans and every member of our military. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.